Reprint 4441, August 1, 1909. Views from the Watchtower. International Conciliation. Extract from an address by Honorable Elihu Root. Quote, "There is a peculiar situation created when a diplomatic question arises between two countries. It is the duty of the diplomatic representatives to argue each the cause of his own country. He cannot turn his back upon an opponent in that friendly contest and state to his countrymen the weakness of his own position and the strength of the other side's position. And it is one of the great difficulties of peacemaking and peacekeeping that the orators, the politicians, the stump speakers, aye, often the clergymen of each country, press and insist upon the extreme view of their own country, and impress upon the minds of the great masses of people who have not studied the question. The idea that all right is upon one side and all wrong upon the other side." Continuing the quote, "If you would help to make and keep peace, stand behind the men who are in the responsible positions of government, ready to recognize the fact that there is some right on the other side." Continuing the quote, "War comes today as the result of one of these causes, either actual or threatened wrong by one country to another, or as the result of a suspicion by one country that another intends to do it wrong, and upon that suspicion, instinct leads the country that suspects the attack to attack first, or from bitterness of feeling, dependent in no degree whatever upon substantial questions of difference, and that bitterness of feeling leads to the suspicion, and the suspicion in the minds of those who suspect and who entertain the bitter feeling is justification for war. It is their justification to themselves. The least of these three causes of war is actual injustice. There are today acts of injustice being perpetrated by one country upon another. There are several situations in the world today where gross injustice is being done. I will not mention them because it would do more harm than it would good, but they are few in number." Continuing the quote, "By far, the greatest cause of war is that suspicion of injustice, threatened and intended, which comes from exasperated feeling. Now, feeling the feeling which makes one nation willing to go to war with another makes real causes of difference of no consequence. If the people of two countries want to fight, they will find an excuse, a pretext, find what seems to them sufficient cause in anything. Questions which can be disposed of without the slightest difficulty between countries really friendly are insoluble between countries really unfriendly. And the feeling between the peoples of different countries is the product of the acts and the words of the peoples of the countries themselves, not of their government. Insult, contemptuous treatment, bad manners, arrogant and provincial assertion of superiority are the chief causes of war today." End of quote. Another subheading, Spiritism Conquering Scientists. "We iterate our warnings, all that disregard the divine assurance that the dead are dead and that resurrection is their only hope. The Bible alone gives us the key to Spiritism's power, showing that it is by the fallen angels, demons, who personate the dead so as to deceive mankind and to favor various falsities and superstitions built upon the error that the dead are alive. The Bible also foretells that at this time the wise men of the world will be deceived. Note the evidence of this in the following item, which is going the rounds of the press." Quote, "Madame Blavatsky was exposed in India by a strenuous Australian investigator, Richard Hodgson, who afterwards settled down in Boston, where he became head of the old American branch of the British Society for Psychical Research, and where also he met Professor James, who took him to see Mrs. Piper. Dr. Hodgson studied this woman for 18 years, and she convinced him that telepathy, automatic writing, and communication with the dead were bona fide phenomena. To give her a special test, Dr. Hodgson arranged a unique course of experiments in which he was aided by Dr. James H. Hyslop, professor of logic and ethics at Columbia. Masked himself and disguised voice." Continuing the quote, "The professor masked himself and disguised his voice during his visits to her, and while she lay unconscious, with her head upon a pillow, resting on a table, her hand wrote out messages alleged to come from his father. She converted Hyslop to the spiritistic hypothesis, and his announcement of the fact made a stir in the scientific world. He and Hodgson formed a compact that whoever died first would communicate with the other, and Professor Hyslop expressed some time ago his satisfaction that he has received messages from Hodgson since the latter's death. Lombroso and Flammarion converted. Continuing the quote, "Across the deep, no less a proportion of thinking men have turned their thoughts in the same direction. Cesare Lombroso, the great Italian criminologist and anthropologist, after having studied the medium, Eusapia Palladino, has announced his belief in disembodied spirits, although he does not endorse the theory of the return of the dead. Professor Charles Richet, of the Faculty of Medicine, Paris, is a French leader in psychical research work and claims to have photographed the spirit of a Spanish soldier, while Camille Flammarion, the French astronomer, is now an aggressive convert to Spiritism. He says that he has proved that such phenomenon as the movement of chairs without contact and the suspension of heavy tables in space are bona fide. No less than an ex-prime minister has recently been a leader for the Ghost Hunters of England, where he recently served as president of the Society of Psychical Research. He insists that science cannot explain the psychic wonders which he has witnessed. While he headed the society, it made a special investigation of 350 cases of apparitions of the dying in England and Wales, and of these, 52 cases were accepted as beyond the laws of chance or the possibility of fraud. Editor Stead, now a medium, continuing the quote, "William T. Stead has become a medium. So he now says, a writing medium, not one of the tambourine and trumpet band. At first, the noted editor accepted telepathy and claimed to have written down the thoughts of living men many miles away. Then, of later years, he alleges, he has gotten into close communion with the dead. But it is only this year that he claims to have developed automatic writing, his right arm becoming impassive while his fingers guide a pen over paper on which appear letters from his son, the brilliant young writer William, who died a year ago, last Christmas Eve. Mr. Stead claims that this writing appears without his exercising any willpower to either hold the pen or move it. Sir Oliver Lodge, now a spiritist," continuing the quote, "If the English-speaking public was surprised to hear that Mr. Stead has strayed thus far into the spiritualistic camp, it was startled to learn a few months ago that Sir Oliver Lodge, head of the University of Birmingham, has announced his belief in such communication with those beyond the grave. In a recent journal of the Society for Psychical Research, he has given details of messages which he claims to have received from dead members of the Society through a pen of a writing medium." End of quote. Another subheading. Suggestion, a potent weapon. Quote, "The spread of Eddyism and the Emmanuel movement merely emphasizes the fact that we have another potent weapon at our command." End of quote. Said Dr. William H. Diefenbach of New York in his annual presidential address to the National Society of Physical Therapeutics, affiliated with the American Institute of Homeopathy, which was recently in session in Detroit. "The use of suggestion to patients," continued the doctor, "should be studied and taught, as should every other agent promising relief in the cure of the sick." Another subheading, Scientific Investigations. Quote, "I have careful records of about 500 deathbeds, studied particularly with reference to the modes of death and the sensations of the dying. 90 suffered bodily pain or distress of one sort or another. 11 showed mental apprehension. 2, positive terror. 1 expressed spiritual exaltation. 1 bitter remorse. The great majority gave no sign one way or the other. Like their birth, their death was a sleep and a forgetting." End of quote. Professor Osler. Another subheading. Jewish College in Palestine. Professor Schiff, the New York banker, has placed $100,000 at the disposal of the Central Jewish Relief League toward establishing a technical college for Jews in Palestine. The college is expected to attract Jews from all parts of the world. It will be located at Haifa. That was reprint 4441, Views from the Watchtower.